have to confess something to you all, my sisters and brothers. I was frustrated to be on the preaching schedule for this particular weekend with this particular text, partly because the part at the end is really rough and really confusing, partly because I love Becky Howard so much I can't even keep my eyes dry this weekend, but mostly for what I'm about to tell you. I wrote and rewrote this sermon several times this week, which is incredibly frustrating for a pastor when you think you've got it and you wipe it all away. But it never felt genuine. After the fourth restart and talking to a couple of friends toward the end of the week, it finally dawned on me that this sermon would never feel genuine to me until I was willing to admit that the first part of this text is hard because it hits a little too close to home. Increase my faith, Jesus. I have been praying this prayer for a few years now. Increase my faith. Have you ever gone through a season of life where everything you thought you knew about God, about discipleship, about life in the world was being shaken through a sieve, and you wondered what was going to fall out of the other side? I've been in that place for a time, friends. I've wrestled with questions and doubts. I've wondered about who God is and what that means in our lives. I've wrestled alone. I've sought wisdom from friends, from colleagues, from spiritual directors, from this very community. I've read scripture and I've prayed. I've sat silently listening for God. Now, I don't tell you this to worry you about the state of your pastor's soul or anything like this. I tell you this in case you have been there, or in case you are currently there, to tell you that you are not alone. And I tell you this second because I think that this is where the disciples were in the text that we heard today. And third, because I think it's not necessarily a bad place to be. In fact, I think that is a place that's a big part of growing spiritually, which is what we're talking about in our sermon series. Prior to today's text, Jesus had just finished telling his followers that they must draw from a bottomless well of forgiveness for one another over and over and over. Just before that, he had called them to notice and care for the poor and the invisible in the parable of the rich man and Lazarus, even if it means lowering one's own privilege and status. Just before that, he had reminded them in the parable of the prodigal son and father that God offers never-ending grace and hospitality, no matter how it's received, no matter how it's viewed, and that disciples should do the same. And that's just the two chapters prior to this one, to say nothing of the rest of his instructions to the disciples throughout the rest of Luke. It's no wonder that Jesus told his followers to count the cost of discipleship before embarking on the journey, because it's high. The disciples took all of this in, and all they could say in response was, increase our faith. Now, I don't know about you, but to me that sounds like an odd response. I thought they would have said something like, give us strength, give us determination, give us thicker skin, give us supernatural patience. To me, a stronger belief system doesn't seem like the issue here, except when we look deeper at the Greek word for faith, which is pistis. And it's better translated as trust or commitment or confidence. Now that, to me, makes a lot more sense. In other words, the disciples cried out, you're asking an awful lot of us, Jesus. Increase our trust that you will be with us always. Increase our trust that what you're leading us to do is worth the risk and the pitfalls and the pain. Increase our commitment to your way of life because it is exhausting and thankless. Increase our confidence that this is all really your desire for our lives and for the kingdom of God. Increase our confidence that we're not going to put ourselves on the line in vain. Increase our faith, Jesus. And Jesus' answer to me always sounds like chastisement, doesn't it? Well, if you had faith the size of a mustard seed, you'd be able to uproot a mulberry bush and send it swimming. Besides illustrating with what I think is an absurd act of faith, because why would anybody ever actually need to do that in a life of discipleship? It seems to me that Jesus is being condescending at best and preaching the prosperity gospel at worst. Because friends, I don't know if you've seen one, but this is a mustard seed. Can you see it? Yeah, that's the problem. I can barely see it. The prosperity gospel says that if you just have strong enough faith, you can heal yourself of illness. You can get rich quick. You can build the perfect family and live a long and happy life. All of our joy depends on how much we believe that God wants to give those things to us. Of course, that reasoning falls apart really quickly when we realize that Jesus, the one whose faith was unwavering, was a poor, single migrant executed at the age of 33. Nevertheless, it seems as if Jesus is clearly telling his disciples and us that our faith is weak, because obviously none of them and none of us ever relocated any sort of shrubbery to the ocean that I know of. Show of hands, anybody? Okay. It always seems like Jesus is chastising them, but what if he wasn't? Remember that our wonderful Lord and Savior loves hyperbole. The goal is not to take his sayings or parables literally. What if he's saying that even a minimal amount of faith is in itself miraculous? What if the fact that they were at least asking the right question this time was a huge step in the right direction? What if just engaging Jesus with their honesty was exactly where he wanted them to be? Because in that place of authenticity and humility and childlike sincerity, they were finally open to receive the gifts of faith and growth and strength and all that they needed to live out their call. From that starting place, from the mustard seed, then they were ready to grow spiritually. What if spiritual growth can only come from the realization that the trust and confidence that we can conjure up on our own just isn't enough? What if growth can only come when we look to Jesus and say, I can't commit to any of this without you? What if growth can only come when we are truthful enough to say, I'm not sure I fully understand any of this anymore, but I'm still all in? What if spiritual growth is in the asking of the hard questions and not in the finding of the answers? Because the disciples sure didn't get answers in that moment. And yet they kept going with Jesus. Every time they openly struggled to understand and to follow, he invited them one step further. Every time they were bold enough to share their doubts, they found themselves deeper in relationship. When they cried out from the boat that was sinking, wondering where Jesus' compassion was in the midst of the storm, they saw him bring order to chaos, a power that only God has, by the way. So they were given a glimpse into Jesus' true nature. When Peter tried to grasp the work that Jesus was doing in the world and he spoke up with his limited understanding, he totally stuck his foot in his mouth. But even though he was completely wrong, Jesus turned around and declared him to be the rock of the church. In Thomas's desperation to see what God was up to in Jesus' death and resurrection, he blurted out what everyone else was already thinking. I need to experience this for myself if I'm going to understand it. He could not believe until he was able to touch his living Lord. And you know what? Jesus let him. Time and time again, Jesus honored his disciples' minimal faith and maximum struggle by revealing more and more of himself to them. And because of his patience, his gentleness, his continued teaching, their mustard seeds of faith cracked open and blossomed into something amazing and huge that changed their lives and the rest of the world. So friends, if any of this sounds like your journey, if this feels a little too close to home for you, take heart. If your faith is raw and your heart is aching, if you're just not sure where God is at work in your life or how you could possibly live up to the call to follow Jesus, you are not alone. If you doubt that you can be used for anything beautiful or lovely or holy, listen up. You are in the space where growth can happen. You don't need unshakable confidence or spectacular feats of faith to grow spiritually. No matter how small or insignificant your faith feels, be honest about it with God. Celebrate the miracle that it's there at all. Read God's word, pray, seek the wisdom of your sisters and brothers in Christ. Wonder and wrestle and be brave enough to struggle with that tiny seed and then watch to see what God can do with it. And remember, Jesus once compared the entire reign of God to a mustard seed. So it must be more powerful than we think. Thanks be to God.